Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Welcome you to this May 4th, 2017 edition as we continue our study of the Old Testament in 2017. And today we will be considering 2 Chronicles chapters 21 through 28 as we look at various kings in those days of Israel's history. But before we do that, we do want to make you aware of some things that are going on around you that you'll have the opportunity to attend, and one of those is going to be May 18th through the 21st at the East Mountain Congregation near Gilmer, Texas, and that's going to be a gospel meeting with the father and son team of Brother David and Benjamin McCain doing the preaching on the subject of the church that Jesus built. Also coming up soon, we want you to remember, is May 6th through the 11th, coming up here in just a few days, and that is the Focal Point Workshop in San Marcos, Texas. That is sponsored by the University Congregation there, and they do a great job, and you'll want to make an effort to attend that if at all possible. Now, there are all kinds of summer events that are going to be coming up. The summer camp season is going to be in full swing soon. We do want to make you aware of Camp Ida. You can go to campida.com for more information. The sessions are filling up now, and so you need to go there and get the applications in. If you want to attend Camp Ida this summer, there will be 5 sessions running from early June into early July. And, of course, there are other fine camps around, and if you would like to get us information on your camp season, let us know about it at office@tgrn.org. Also, the various summer youth series will begin here in just a few weeks, and we hope that you'll let us know about the one in your area so that we can publicize that for you. And also, we note that many congregations we'll have various summer lecture series. Many of these are on Wednesday evenings. The Mount Vernon congregation will be hosting its annual series. And this year, the topic is going to be the Book of Hebrews. And that's going to run on Wednesday evenings through the months of June, July, and August. Our speakers this year will include in June, Hebrews chapter 1, June the 7th, with Kevin Cawley from New Boston, Texas. June the 14th, Hebrews chapter 2, speaker Marco Arroyo from the University Congregation in Tyler. June 21st, Hebrews chapter 3, speaker Nat Ayers from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Texas. June 28th, Hebrews chapter 4, with speaker Anthony Warnes from the Broken Bow, Oklahoma congregation. July the 5th, Hebrews chapter 5 with speaker John McCormack of Atlanta, Texas. July the 12th, Hebrews chapter 6 with Jim Laws from the Broadway congregation in Tyler, Texas. July the 19th, Hebrews 7, speaker Chris Groda from the North Jefferson congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas. July the 26th, Hebrews chapter 8 with J.J. Hendricks from the North Jefferson congregation in Mount Pleasant. August the 2nd, Hebrews 9, speaker Andy Baker from Maud, Texas. August 9th, Hebrews chapter 10, speaker Jeff Blanton from Fulbright, Texas. August 16th, Hebrews 11, speaker Phil Hancock from the Broadway congregation in Tyler. August 23rd, Hebrews chapter 12, speaker Brian Burdeau of Caddo Mills, Texas. And concluding August the 30th with Hebrews chapter 13 with speaker Neil Thurman from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ is located at 708 West Main Street in Mount Vernon, Texas. And you can reach us at 903-537-4129. So make plans to be in attendance if you can this summer. And now we turn our attention to our Bible study this morning. as we look at 2 Chronicles, chapters 21 through 28. And chapter 21 begins with the reign of Jehoram, or Joram. And we see this in chapter 21, verses 1 through 20. In verse 1, we see that King Jehoshaphat dies and is buried with his fathers. Having established himself on the throne, Jehoram proceeds to eliminate his potential rivals. Notice verse 4. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was another in a long list of evil kings. Jehoram began to reign at the age of 32. And let's now pick up in verse 6 concerning Jehoram. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David, because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. Jehoram was married to the daughter of Ahab, and indeed she was quite evil in her own right. As king, Jehoram led Israel to commit spiritual adultery against the Lord God. Consider verse 11. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Judah to commit harlotry, and led Judah astray. Elijah came to Jehoram with the word of the Lord concerning his future, and it was not good. Verse 12. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Israel of Jerusalem to play the harlot, like the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and also have killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who were better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction. Your children, your wives, and all your possessions. And you will become very sick with the disease of your intestines, until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day. What a horrible picture. The Philistines and the Arabians would take the household of Jehoram into captivity. The only one to escape was his youngest son, Jehoahaz. As Elijah had earlier prophesied concerning the death of Jehoram, it came to pass. Pick up in verse 18. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. Then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain. And his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. The people did not even mourn his death, as the custom normally is at the passing of a ruler. And so the chapter ends with the sad end of the life and the story of Jehoram. Verse 20 says he was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. When we consider the life of Jehoram, we can see the importance of avoiding an ungodly life and earning a sad fate like that of Jehoram. When we choose to serve God faithfully and wholly, our fate will be much better than the sad fate of King Jehoram. Instead, let us choose the abundant life. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Indeed, let us choose the life that is in Christ Jesus." And so we move to chapter 22. And here in verses 1 through 9, we find the reign of Ahaziah. Ahaziah began to reign after the death of his father Jehoshaphat. His problems began with his listening to the counsel of his wicked mother, whom you might recall was also the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. According to verse 3, it says, "He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly." So we see that he emulated as a role model his grandfather Ahab. And that was not a good thing, for he walked in the ways of Ahab. Jehu would be anointed by God and would destroy the house of Ahab. And he also would kill Ahaziah. Let's pick up in verse 5. "He also followed their advice and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which he had received at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. He was going to Joram, his going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it happened, when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, and found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers, who served Ahaziah, he killed them. Then he searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him, he was hiding in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him, because they said, 'He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart.' So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom." Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, would react with rage at the death of Ahaziah. See verse 10. "Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah." Verse 11 reveals that Jehoshaphat, the daughter of Jehoram and the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, hid Joash, the son of Ahaziah. Joash hid 6 years in the house of God, while Athaliah reigned as queen. We continue there in verse 11. "But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for he was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. The reign of Athaliah would rank up high among the evil kings. She even killed her own grandchildren. And her reign continues into chapter 23 as we consider the reign of Athaliah. In chapter 23, we see Jehoiada leads a revolt against the evil reign of Athaliah. Verse 1. In the seventh year of Jehoiada, he strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. Azariah, the son of Jehoram, Ishmael, the son of Jehonan, Azariah, the son of Obed, and Maaseiah, the son of Adaiah, and Elisaphat, the son of Zichri. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said to them, Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. Jehoiada gathers the people, and a pact is established to make Joash the king, as Jehoiada, the high priest, anoints Joash as king. Jehoiada organizes the people in verses 4 through 11. And Athaliah hears the dissension of the people. She cries out treason against the people. Notice verse 13. When she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, also the singers with musical instruments, and those who led in praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, Treason, treason. And so then finally, another evil leader meets their fate. In verses 16 through 21, we find that Jehoiada leads a religious restoration in the land. Jehoiada was a man who sought to do good. We see a great example and lesson for us in Jehoiada, in that while he lived in evil days, he still sought to bring about good. God can always use men and women who are not afraid to do good. A Christian can bring better times to any land in any age. And now we move to chapter 24 and consider the reign of Joash. Finally, a good king, for the first time in ages, leads a people back to God. We're going to focus more time here today than on any of the other kings, looking at Joash. Let's pick up in verse 1 of chapter 24 here in 2 Chronicles. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. So we notice from verse 1 that Joash ascended to the throne at the age of 7 as a young boy. Verses 2 and 3 pointed out that Joash faithfully served the Lord. Indeed, Joash benefited from the training and influence of Jehoiada the priest without a doubt. Joash would bring about the restoration of the temple. Let's pick up in verse 4. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, "Go out to the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly." However, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the king called Jehoiada the chief priest and said to him, "Why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the assembly of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken into the house of God, and had also presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. Then, at the king's command, they made a chest, and set it outside at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced, brought their contributions, and put them into the chest until all had been given. So it was at that time, when the chest was brought to the king's official by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, that the king's scribe and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and returned it to its place. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. And they hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and the house was completed by them, and they restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and they made from it articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offering, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. Things were going so well, but sin was about to enter the camp. Jehoiada was a faithful servant, and his life was at its end. And it would have an effect upon Joash after his mentor was gone. But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. For he was 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. That's verses 15 and 16. What a great eulogy to have recorded of a man. Jehoiada the priest, he had done good in Israel. Wouldn't you hope that would be said about you one day, that you had done good? After the death of Jehoiada, Joash the king, who had been so good and faithful to God, falls from grace. In verses 17 and 18, we see that Joash and the tribe of Judah now turn to idolatry. Verse 17, Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. It is truly amazing how quickly man can leave God. So many Christians fall today, just as Joash did in the days of old. 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, who stood above the people, and said to them, Thus says God, Why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord, so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. God sends Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, as a prophet to try to turn the people back to him, seeking their repentance and desiring for them to bring forth the fruits of repentance. But according to verses 21 and 22, Joash had far removed himself from God, and thus orders the execution of Zechariah the prophet. Notice, so they conspired against him, and at the command of the king they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son, and as he died he said, The Lord look on it and repay. And so a good king that fell from grace and did evil in the sight of the Lord soon will meet the same end as others who turn from God. In verses 23 and 24, God allows the Syrians to rise up and serve justice to Israel. So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. The servants of the wounded king would slay the once great king who turned to evil. We continue in verse 25. And when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and killed him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. These are the ones who conspired against him in Zabad, the son of Shemith, the Ammonitess, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrith, the Moabitess. Now concerning his sons, and the many oracles about him, and repairing of the house of God, indeed they are written in the annals of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah his son reigned in his place. When we consider the reign of Joash, he served God and then fell away from God. What a sad end for those who follow the way of Joash today. Joash had a kindred spirit in the New Testament in the form of Demas. Recall 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Let us always be individuals who seek to restore those who have fallen away? Recall Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We come to chapter 25 now, and the reign of Amaziah. Amaziah began to reign at the age of 25. We pick up in verse 1, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. After Amaziah became king, he ordered the execution of the servants that had killed Joash. Verse 3. Now it happened, as soon as the kingdom was established for him, that he executed his servants who had murdered his father the king. However, he did not execute their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin. We can be thankful that God does not charge us with the sins of our fathers, nor does he charge our children with our sins. Indeed, consider Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Amaziah then makes preparation for war against their cousins, the Edomites. We see in verse 5 that Amaziah gathers the army of Judah. And verse 6 tells us that he hires an army of 100,000 men for Israel. The prophet tells Amaziah not to use the men from Israel, and so he sends them home in verses 7 through 10. After sending home the soldiers from Israel, God gives them the victory over Edom. Verse 11. Then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. Also, the children of Judah took captive 10,000 alive and brought them to the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock so that they were all dashed in pieces. After this amazing victory that was given to Amaziah by the Lord, he incredibly chooses to follow the path of his father Joash. And so Amaziah turns from God and chooses to follow sin. As always, in the case of sin, the same result is produced. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death. And Amaziah turns to idolatry. Verse 14. Now it was so, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir and set them up to be his gods. And he bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore, The anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you sought the gods of the people who could not rescue their own people from your hand?" So it was, as he talked with him, that the king said to him, "Have we made you the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed?" Then the prophet ceased and said, "I know that God is determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice." And Amaziah becomes unfaithful to God, and eventually Jerusalem is lost, and his own men would kill him. We pick up in verse 22. "And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, the king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver, all the articles that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, the treasures of the king's house, and hostages, and returned to Samaria. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, from first to last, indeed, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? After the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah." Chapter 26 brings us to the reign of Uzziah. At the age of 16, Uzziah ascended to the throne, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He would win great military victories. Notice beginning in verse 6. "Now he went out and made war against the Philistines, and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Meunites. And also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong." Isn't it interesting when one does right how God blesses? Uzziah also constructed towers, as we see in verses 9 and 10. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. And we see that the fame of Uzziah became known throughout the world. Notice verse 15. "And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong." Like so many of his predecessors, we see another example of pride going before a fall. We see in the scriptures men like Moses and Joshua that were well suited for leadership. But we also encounter many men that were not suited internally for leadership, and they would fall as power corrupted them. After much success, we see that Uzziah would transgress against the Lord God. Pride, first and foremost, was his downfall. Verse 16 says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." His worship became wrong. Verse 17, "So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah, and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God.' Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar." Uzziah would remain a leper until his death. Indeed, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Verse 20, "And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him." King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. And thus we come to chapter 27, and the reign of Jotham. Jotham served the Lord. Verse 1, Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. But the people still acted corruptly. Though Jotham did right, his subjects acted sinfully. It is not hard to draw a conclusion that Jotham was suffering in his people the effects of the actions of his predecessors. We see that Jotham was a mighty king in verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. And Jotham reigned for 16 years and was buried with his fathers. Notice verse 7. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, indeed they are written in the books of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. And finally this morning, chapter 28 brings us to the reign of Ahaz. Ahaz was one of the more wicked kings. Ahaz ascended to the throne at the age of 20. Verse 1 says Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. Ahaz was a worshiper of false gods rather than the true and the living God. Notice beginning in verse 2, "For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molded images for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree." The idol-worshipping Ahaz would witness a series of oppressions against Judah, beginning with Syria in verse 5, followed by Israel in verses 6 through 15, followed by Edom in verses 16 and 17, followed by the Philistines in verses 18 and 19, and finally the Assyrians in verses 20 and 21. Amazingly, in spite of all the oppression that was brought on by sin, Ahaz would still not repent and follow God. Let's go to verse 22. "Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus which had defeated him, saying, 'Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me.' But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem and in every city of Judah. And he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers." And so chapter 28 closes with a summary of the highly depressing reign of Ahaz. Verse 26. "Now the rest of his acts and all his ways, from first to last, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. Then Hezekiah his son reigned in his place." And so as we conclude this morning, as we've considered some of these days of the kings, I think some of the things that we've seen in our chapters 21 through 28 here today is that, as we see through the rest of the scripture, that obedience has always been blessed by God, and we can see it when kings were obedient, and we also see that disobedience will always be punished. The parade of kings that we have studied should be a vivid reminder to us that one can do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, and that we also can understand that men can turn from God and turn from doing good and fall from grace. Power is corrupting, and many fall because of the pride that creeps into one's life with increasing power. Let us heed the lessons from these kings and the Israelites of old, so as not to repeat their mistakes in our lives today. And indeed, when we do that, we will have followed the admonition that Paul gave to the Romans concerning the things written aforetime that were written for our learning. May God bless you. Thank you for joining me this morning. Have a great day, and if the Lord wills, we'll see you again tomorrow, as your host will be Chris Grota and J.J. Hendricks at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master.